What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 319, and this week's podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives a little kickback, and of course, that keeps the podcast going every week. With me is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. How's it going? We've been just chatting away before the show. All sorts of topics.
Yeah.
Movies, tech.
Yeah. I am. This is 2 weeks in a row on the
energy drink.
On the, what is this called? This is the G Fuel Peach Rings. That's what this is.
We'll see how you perform tonight.
Yeah. So,
because we did all right last week. So,
yeah. So last week I probably played the best evening of Apex that I played in a very long time. And I'm saying it's because of the G Fuel, but we'll see. We'll see if that's the case. Yeah, we'll see. But, another week, another podcast. I had a crazy weekend. I had friends in town and stuff, so I didn't really do a whole lot of work related things. But we have definitely some cool stuff going on. If you guys do want to follow along, we have our full show notes page here that you can see everything that we're going to be talking about this week. You can click through as well and read the articles or bookmark the articles if you want even more information. We'll start off with reviews this week, and I took a look at probably one of the bigger cases I've taken a look at this year so far. It is Thermaltake's Core P6TG. I'll bring it up here. It's such a big case. So the Core series, if you remember, and the Core series has been out for a while. We actually reviewed the Core P5 all the way back in 2015. So this series was initially designed to be like the open air chassis type of wall mount type of case, right? And they were actually one of the first companies to sort of do that. We saw Lian Li do it after. They almost were like kind of copycatting each other for a little bit on some of those designs of those kind of open air chassis. And now we have the Core P6TG, which turns that sort of open air chassis into it looks more like a case. They put tempered glass on three sides of the case and they kind of closed it off to make it a more traditional case. But you still get a lot of the features you saw in the previous Core cases, specifically a lot of cooling space. We received the white version of the case and they actually have some really cool colors. We have white, black, and then we have turquoise, and then we have the racing green. We took a look at Thermaltake's Tower 100 in the racing green. It is a sleek green color. And the turquoise, if you want like a system that's really gonna jump out and get some attention, the turquoise is really cool. But we have the white version here. And it's basically, like I said, it's a big case. It weighs just under 40 pounds without any hardware inside.
Wow.
The tempered glass panels are 4 millimeters thick, which is some of the thickest you can get. I think on your case, your N1 case, is it 5 millimeters thick? I think it's decently thick.
I think they're actually thinner than that.
Okay. But in any case, it's a really big kind of monstrous case. You can fit a lot inside of here. We'll start at the front. We have that tempered glass panel on the front as well. Behind that panel, there is a cooling bracket here, so you can fit 3 120-millimeter fans, 2 140s, or radiators up to 360 millimeters. Next to that, you have all of your controls, big power button, 2 USB 3.0 ports, 2 USB 2.0 ports, and a USB 3.2 Gen 2x2 Type-C headphone, microphone, and reset. I don't know why the USB 2.0s are on there. They seem a little.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would just take the 2 3.0s or just do 4 3.0s, and the Type-C would be much better in my opinion. At the top, we have another tempered glass panel. Here you can see we do have a filter. All the filters on this case are magnetic, which means they're easy to remove and clean. We have another cooling bracket up top here, and this cooling bracket exactly the same as the front. 3 120s or 2 140-millimeter fans, and then radiators up to 360 millimeters there. And then the main side panel, you can see just how big this side panel is, and it's held on with these massive bolts, sort of like, again, like the ear case, like the the Inwin case, these massive bolts that really hold it in place. You know, some people complain that it's not as clean of a look, but I think for this big of a panel, you really need something kind of heavy duty, to kind of hold everything together. And then, what's kind of nice about this case too, is that I've done this even with the smallest panels, is they have this sort of catch system down here. So if you unscrew everything, you don't accidentally drop the panel, not only to protect the panel itself from breaking because it is tempered glass, but to protect your desk. I've scratched so many desks by taking panels off and the panel just dropping, and then you have a big scratch on your desk. Actually, this desk that I'm sitting at has a big scratch because of that. So it's nice that you have that there, again, mainly to protect the panel itself. You can kind of see both of them right here. But it is nice to have to protect your desk as well. And then on the rear, you have kind of a standard layout here. This does support larger motherboards, CEB motherboards, but you still only have 7 expansion slots. So it's not like, you know, it's not technically a full tower. Rear fan placement for a 120 millimeter fan, expansion slots, and of course your power supply placement at the bottom there. On the rear, there is some interesting things. So we'll talk about the internal cooling, which this this ventilation is for. And then you see all these holes and you're like, what is
all that? It's kind of interesting looking.
Yeah, so you have all these holes back here. These are actually base mounts. So the original Core series had base mounts on it so that you could technically put this on a base mount and, you know, put it
up on your wall.
Up on the wall. So that is continued through here. Even though this is a massive case, you can still do that. Again, it would just be like buying a TV mount that you would put on your wall, and then you put your whole system up on the wall. So you still get that with this right here. And then the rear panel is just a, you know, your standard metal panel held on by 3 screws on each side there. Getting inside, things get a little interesting. So I talked about the internal cooling here. You have a third cooling bracket on, you know, right past the motherboard tray here. And it also supports 3 120s or 2 140s and radiators up to 360 millimeters. So you could do a 360, a 360, a 360. Or if you weren't into like hardcore water cooling, you could do a 360 AIO for your CPU and then a 360 AIO for your GPU if you, you know, got like all-in-ones, if that's something that you wanted to do, which is pretty cool. Also included, you have this little bracket right here. This is made for a pump or reservoir, or you can fit a 2.5 inch SSD on it if you want as well, but it's mainly for water cooling built into the case. And then we have our power supply cover, which goes about halfway into the case. And that cover has this little SSD mount here, which is a removable little tray. And then you can actually mount SSDs right here as well. You can mount one more SSD right there. So lots of room. Also on this bracket is a vertical GPU holder. This case does support a vertical GPU out of the box minus the extension cable. So you will need to buy the riser cable yourself, but you don't need to buy anything else for the case. It actually will transform pretty easily to do vertical GPU if you wanted to do it. On the backside of the extra panel, we do have another filter, again, magnetic, super easy to remove. So you have that there. And then on the back of the case, you have a ton of storage. So this top section and this bottom section are for storage. Each one of these little brackets holds either 2 3.5 inch hard drives or 3 2.5 inch hard drives. So in total, you can actually fit up to 9 hard drives in this case, which is really impressive. And then of course we have our base mount here, and then all your cabling can be kind of hidden in this back section of the case. Plenty of tie down points as well. You know, like cabling and cable mesh should not be a massive problem with this case. Our installation went extremely well. If you guys know, our case system that we use is not the most in-depth, crazy big system. But, you know, motherboard goes in super easy, no problems whatsoever. And then, you know, hard drive goes on one of these brackets, put the bracket back in the case. The power supply, Thermaltake sent us one of their newer Tough Power GF1 snow power supplies, which actually matches this case. If you're doing a white build or have a white case, this is a great power supply. Because one, the power supply is all white, and then all the cables are sleeved white as well, which is really cool. But it just goes in like a lot of these new power supplies. Power supply mounts go just through the back there. It goes in very easily. No issues there. Graphics card, no problem. This case supports a well over 400 millimeter long graphics cards, which you're probably not going to find one that's that long. No issues there. You can see our cabling. We did use the cable tie here. This case does come with Velcro cable ties. You can tie everything down, but again, not a whole lot of cable mess there. And you can see we have an extremely clean build, except for the power supply cables that kind of poke out a little bit. I kind of wish this shroud like was closed off in the front. If you look at, like, let me go to some of our other photos that I have, I believe. Oh, no, I didn't put those photos in there. But if you look at this main photo, you can kind of see the...
Yeah.
I wish this kind of just closed off or something like that, so you wouldn't be able to see those. Because, again, you have this massive window,
right,
where it would have been nice to kind of hide those cables, right?
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of weird. And then, again, I don't, and Thermaltake's not the only one that does this, but the window to the power supply, I just don't understand.
Yeah.
Still,
I'm not a fan of it.
It's a fan that can go away.
I just don't understand. Yeah, I don't get it. Like, and besides Asus and their ROG ones that do have some RGB right here, like, mm-hmm. nobody's and that's like the highest, like the highest end unit you could buy, right? So like,
right.
nobody's
There's nothing really, flashy about a power supply.
Yeah, nobody's Most really yeah doing anything with that. So yeah, the one thing you will notice is that there are no fans included with this case, no fans at all. Which I get why Thermaltake does it, because this is a larger case for somebody who's really doing a pretty high-end build. So you kind of want to pick your own fans, right? But I really right. wish they would have included, like, it would have been nice to have like two 140s in the front and a 120 in the back being RGB. And I would pay more money than what this case, like this case is $199, which I think is a good deal considering everything that you're getting. Sure. And then what's nice about it, unlike some other companies, they don't include their own fans, so you're not stuck in their ecosystem. Because it's like a lot of some other cases will come with like three 120s in the front that are RGB, and then they're a certain company, and then you're kind of stuck in that company's ecosystem.
Right. Or you're wasting three fans.
Yeah, you wanted. Yeah, so I get why they don't include it, but at the same time, a lot of people, maybe they're beginners and they kind of want to use this case or they really like this case. It's just nice to have that starting point. Or if it's a money thing, you know, you get those three fans initially, and then as you know, your next paycheck comes in or something, you can purchase more fans kind of down the line. So that would have been kind of nice, because again, out of the box with no real cooling, if you go in the review and look at our cooling results, they're not the best, because we don't have any fans in here. We're just reliant on our CPU fan and the fans on our graphics card, so obviously that's not going to be the best thing. I like the case. I love how open it is. I love how much stuff you can fit in here, the amount of hard drives, the amount of cooling options that you have. Just the power, that power supply cover right here, I'm just not yeah. And like Ryan said, this stupid window in the power supply cover, not a big fan of. But I think for $200, it's priced right. It's not bad
for $200, yep.
Yeah, because it's a lot of material. It's a lot of heavy-duty tempered glass. It is made well. It feels good. It doesn't feel cheap. So it's just up to you if this is something that you want. And again, there are some extra things here that you really don't need in specific builds, like the bracket for the pump or res. Like, if you're not doing a water cooling build, you really don't need that. That's an extra cost. They actually include a graphics card support, a metal graphics card support, which is actually pretty cool to have. And then they include brackets to vertically mount your power supply. So if you did, I think it's if you do micro ATX or mini ITX, board in here, you could vertically mount your power supply. They include brackets for that. But again, if you're not using them, it's just an extra cost. So I like the case. It just all depends. It kind of just depends on use case, I would say, right?
Yeah, I mean, you've got definitely a potential, like you said, to put three big radiators in here and do a really cool custom loop.
And I believe with three, 6, 9, 10, 11, 12, I think you can fit 13 fans. Yeah, 13 fans in here. So, I mean, it's quite a lot. So like I said, and I like it. And you can actually disassemble the case to make it like the older Core series as well. Like you can basically bare bones this thing out, take the top and bottom panels completely off, I believe.
So it's just kind of the frame.
Yeah. So it's just kind of like the frame. You can do that as well if you really wanted to. So lots of options. And it is pretty cool that you can technically vase mount this as well. If you're looking to do something cool, have your system up on a wall without having to, you know, you just buy a vase mount like you would have for your TV, just as long as you kind of get one that fits the specifications of the weight.
The weight.
Yeah. Which most TV vase mounts do these days, because, again, the case is going to be 40 pounds, put everything else in, like, what, 60 pounds? Oh, something like that?
Yeah, probably.
20 pounds. Yeah, something like that. So very cool. Definitely go ahead and check that review out. And that was the only review we did this week. So it's good to be we haven't done a case in a while, so it's good to do a case. And we have, yeah. I think I have one, two, three. I have like five cases that are sitting here. So we have a lot of cases coming. So definitely stay tuned for that. Talk about cases. Talk about a company that I always rip on this podcast because I just have to. Antec. Somebody did an amazing Antec Torque build, one of the better ones, one of my favorite builders too. I talk about this with Ryan all the time. Snef Computer Design did an Antec Torque build, which I think is absolutely amazing.
We were talking about this distro plate / reservoir. I guess it's more of a reservoir because I don't think it's
one. That's like his signature thing beyond the obviously super clean, whatever. But he has done this in a couple cases now where he builds a custom reservoir that like
it just integrates so well into the build.
Yeah, it integrates into the case. It looks like it's an actual panel that should be there. And I think, I was like, Ryan, build me one of these.
Yeah. I said, hey, you get all the parts and I'll put it together.
Yeah, but it's such a cool build. I love the colors. The colors match really well.
This is one of the details of the hardware. Like all the hex fittings and
yeah, he uses these, what would you call this? Cuz these are what are they called? Like
get rid of that.
Yeah,
you got some
yeah.
All right, cool.
But yeah, like what would you call that? Like over the CPU and all of that, because they're channels, like a channel block.
I mean, it's a distro plate.
Yeah, I guess like a distro plate. Yeah, but it's on the front, so it's like covering like where your normal tubing would be, I guess. And it just looks so cool. And again, yeah,
I guess as opposed to the tubes that would go everywhere, they're just using that huge plate.
The huge plate right there. Around. So I think that's really cool. And you can see kind of how that all goes together. And you do have some tubing that you can see a little bit, but it's just, I think it's just so well done. Look at that. That's really, really cool, I think. It's just like I said, all goes together really well. They don't really even show the graphics card. I mean,
no, it's covered.
Yeah, it's flipped. Is it? Yeah, it's flipped.
It's vertical.
Yeah, it's vertical, and it's very just very cool build. It's not simple, but it feels simple. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, because everything's just like these flat panels everywhere and angles. You're not seeing the tubes like you usually do. There are, although you do see some clear tubes up by the radiator, the top radiator.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's, oh God. Yeah. So nice.
Yeah. All of the cabling runs. It just runs. Yeah. I love that. That takes so much time to do as well. And just like the little things, like the little accent around all of the, all of those that are blue to match everything. I mean, it is just one super, super cool build. I like I said, it's just excellent. So go ahead and check this one out. On our Case Mod Friday section on the site, it's Snap is, like I said, he is probably one of my favorite builders. Just his whole design and how he again integrates this big reservoir to look like it's part of the case. It doesn't look out of place. It doesn't look like it shouldn't be there. And how everything just goes together so well. So definitely go ahead and check that out for sure. And that brings us to news this week. And we have some interesting stuff here, especially on the Intel side of things. The first thing is that we actually got a look, and it's unclear. And I saw a lot of people post this, this image of this Intel Arc graphics card. So Intel Extreme Masters is a gaming tournament that happens every year. And obviously it's held by Intel and a bunch of other companies. And the first one of my friends actually posted, who works for Intel, she had posted this on her Instagram story. And I was like, what? I was like, they actually have the card there. So they were showing an Arc limited edition graphics card. And if you remember, the high-end A770 and A780 Arc graphics cards are going to be limited edition, whatever that means, right? So they had it in this sort of acrylic case, sort of like a lot of products get shown off, and it was just kind of sitting in there. We're not sure if this is like the finished design, if this is even a workable card, if it's a prototype, like it was just there.
I think it's what we're going to see.
Do you think it's a working card?
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if this was a working card. No, just a shroud and some you know, power connectors and a blank PCB. I would put money on this being a working model. I think it looks like workstation-y, the design, but we always get that like Founders Edition cards look just very subtle almost. And I think that's what we're seeing here is just kind of that, the business look of a graphics card.
Dual fan,
even the fans on there. Yeah. Dual fan design,
six, and they're not using the
new six pin, right? They're not using the new, 12 pin power.
Yeah. They're not using the new 12 pin power. That's all we know.
We don't see the ports since it's the way it's mounted. The IO is on the bottom, so we don't know exactly what's
tool
on
slot.
There.
Tool slot.
Yep.
Yeah. And it doesn't
looks
look
to
like
be
it's
a decently long card, I think.
Yeah, it looks long. And it looks like there's just like a lot of unused. Maybe this bottom is not the final design. That's kind of basic, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's not that. I mean, it's basic in looks, but like in function, it's not that much different than like a AMD card, a Radeon card, right? We just saw those. We're just looking at them a couple weeks ago with, you know, the dual fan cooling design. Sure, they look a little different, but as far as function goes, it's just two fans or three fans on the bottom there.
Yeah. So again, unclear of what card this is. But it, like I said, a bunch of people posted it on social media. So you can, like I said, we have one of the tweets that has the pictures of it.
Scroll back up to the other image, the main image. Yeah. So looking at how those fans are oriented, the air must come out like the side of the card.
Yeah. You can see it's kind of open. You see this kind of
open, right?
Cut out right there. Yeah, so it's unclear. Again, you can see sort of like the cutout right there.
Right, so I'm guessing there's going to be some exhaust.
Yeah.
Coming through there. There'd have to be.
At least we know it's like real. and getting semi closer to being like what, you know, whatever that, like getting closer to being a real thing. I think this will be changed just based on this very, very look. Basic design. Yeah. But yeah,
like I said, yeah, it just looks like workstation-y, like professional component as opposed to something a consumer's going to buy.
This is a consumer-facing gaming card, though.
Oh, no, it just looks very business-like.
Yeah, so again, like I said, you guys tell us, let us know what you think, if this is the real deal, if you think this is what the retail card's going to look like, or if this is a prototype mock-up and we might see something a little bit different. I think... it like the overall layout will probably remain the same, right? But we'll see, make it look a little bit nicer, especially this back part. But in any case, pictures are there if you guys want to see them. And then we got, and this was really interesting. I was actually thinking about this, you know, from when we were at CES last time, right? We went to the RTX 2060 launch that was at CES. Remember that?
Yes.
And it was like, oh, you know, the better, like the, that's the card for everybody type. That's how kind of NVIDIA did it. And this new story, one, it talks about the power, we're going to get an RTX 4060. So all we heard initially was RTX 4090, 4080, and 4070. It looks like we will get a 4060, and according to rumors, the 4060 will have a higher TDP than the 3070, which has a 220 watt TDP. So that's not anything I would say out of the ordinary. Newer card, higher TDP, pushing, you know, obviously more power. The interesting thing is there's a new launch schedule that, again, all rumors, so take it with a grain of salt, but we can see the new launch schedule down here. RTX 4090 October, RTX 4080 November, RTX 4070 December, RTX 4060 January CES, just like they did with the 20 series.
Right.
And I think the 20 series was a big thing, like, I mean, that's when we first got RTX. So this sort of launch schedule makes total sense. They can sell, you know, the 4090, 4080, and 4070 all through holiday season. And then, right, you know, January CES unveil for the 4060, which is going to be the less expensive card. It's a card that a lot of people will probably be waiting for. They did it with a 20 series. I think it will be a good, you know. I think this, compared to the what we saw before, I think this would be a better timeline. It gives them
a lot more time, moved back a month, right?
It gives them more time to get rid of their 30 series cards, which are a ton of out there. And it actually gives Intel some time to come out with their cards as well. Yeah,
before they get,
yeah.
I actually was looking at Best Buy's site today to just see if they had any in stock, any 30 series, and they didn't have any locally that I saw that were available. So I know they're out there and they're a lot easier to get now, but as far as a local option for me, still nothing readily available.
Yeah, I have seen on we post every day. If you guys don't follow us on social media, we post an Amazon tech deal every day, and I go look every day and find you guys a tech deal. It's not like something that's just like random. And I've seen really good priced like graphics cards from Asus, from Gigabyte, from MSI, from Sapphire on the AMD side as well, all very close to MSRP. So if you're looking for 30 series, they're out there and they're basically the prices they should have been since they launched. So definitely keep your eye out for that. But yeah, I think this is just a better launch time. It just makes more sense, right? And again, it gives them something to talk about at CES, which I think if they're already launching the 4090 or, you know, launch most of the 40 series, it gives them something kind of exciting to talk about at CES. So
Right. Yeah. If you've already, you know, launched your flagship cards and you're at CES, you're like, you guys know what we have. But yes, the 60 series, just like we saw at, what was that? CES 2018, I think.
Yeah, I believe.
When they did that, I think it was my first year. Yeah.
Yeah, it was your first year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So on the AMD side of things, we saw a very interesting card get kind of rolled out from Sapphire. A Radeon 6700. That's what it's being called. Non-RX, non-XT, just a Radeon 6700, which appears to be a repurposed RX 6700M from their mobile. You know how we were talking about how companies in China are repurposing mobile RTX cards into desktop cards? It seems like this is what Sapphire is doing. I don't know if, they are legitimately doing this. So it has 10 gigabytes of memory across a 160-bit interface, which is the exact same as the mobile card. The TDP has changed from 135 watts on the mobile card to 220 watts on the desktop card. But beyond that, the cards are, there's going to be two of them, a pulse and I don't know what the second one is. I mean, if they're having issues with getting cards out there, I guess it makes sense to repurpose the mobile cards to desktop cards and sell them if there's issues with people being able to get cards. I think that's the only reason you do this, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. It doesn't, you know, and that's what appears, this appears. We haven't seen these, like nobody's taken one of these apart to see what's really under the hood. But it's official. It's official. It's a weird skew. It's, I don't know.
Funny, especially since we talked about it last week.
It kind of just, like I said, it reminds me of the story from last week where they're repurposing RTX cards into desktop cards, and it just looks like Sapphire is possibly doing that. So yeah, more cards the better.
More cards, exactly.
I'm all for more graphics cards out there, better pricing, better availability, everything like that. On the mobile side of things, there should be new stories coming this week. If you're listening to this later after Wednesday or Thursday, because a lot of these laptops are like actually, I think the NDA on these were today or tomorrow. So we'll see actual reviews come out. But 3D Mark TimeSpy was tested on an Intel Arc A730M. And it's actually faster than an RTX 3070 laptop GPU. So again, these are being slowly kind of rolled out. The laptops that feature these graphics cards, mostly in Asian countries, and we'll get some a little bit later. But that's pretty impressive. You know, the 3070 laptop GPU is like really good, especially if you're gaming, you know, 1080p, 1440p. So to have first time Intel mobile, dedicated mobile GPU performing better than a 3070 laptop GPU, pretty impressive, I would say.
It makes me feel good about what their desktop part's going to be able to do. But yeah, you're exactly right. You know, the fact that mobile part's beating NVIDIA's, not their top of the line mobile part by any means, but
a good
mobile, competitive part, right? Yeah, a good like mid-range,
a mobile part that you would like, a part that you
wouldn't feel bad using, right?
Yeah, like if you were actually gaming on your laptop, like seriously, you would want that. So yeah, it's good to see. I think, like, again, tomorrow I think their first reviews will be out. I think they might have came out tonight, but we'll talk about it next week because there'll be a lot of reviews out of these laptops and everything like that. So definitely stay tuned for that. But it, like I said, it is exciting. Always good to have another competitor in the space and kind of, you know, shake things up. Old man is in the chat, just popping in or just dropped in. Good to see you here, man. We were wondering where you were. You're usually here at the get-go. So DDR5. So DDR5 prices are finally kind of coming down.
Yeah, they've dropped quite a bit.
Yeah, so we look at some of these graphs done by I think it was done by Computer Base. They track all this stuff. They've been doing it with GPUs as well. You can see like just price up like basic Kingston value RAM, 32 gigabytes, DDR5 4800 kit. Just the price has just consistently gone down, which is really good. And if you look at, you know, a higher end kit, the G-Skill Aegis 16 gigabytes. Oh, this is DDR4.
Yes.
DDR4 prices still, it's gone down a little bit too. Not like the DDR5, but still, I think, again, one of the biggest setbacks or drawbacks to doing doing a newer build was the price of DDR5 and the availability of DDR5. And I think that's why it was so expensive off the get-go, because they know they could kind of squeeze people, because you needed DDR5 if you were doing like most Z690
in most cases. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's good to see it. It's just like graphics cards, things. I think we're not there yet, but we're getting back to normalcy.
Getting a little more reasonable.
Yeah. A little more reasonable for builds and a lot more, especially when it comes to DDR5, like you can get anything now. You can get RGB, you can get non-RGB, you can get basic kit, you can get a super high end kit, like all over the place. Which is really nice to see. So, definitely good to see there. We got some new motherboards, which I'll have you talk about.
Sure. Yeah, NZXT, who, you know, they're in the back of my mind, and I kind of forget that they make motherboards sometimes. I'm just so used to them being cases and coolers. That's what sticks out in my mind. But then I always see them, and I'm like, ah, yes, the NZXT motherboards with, you know, to me, that unique design. They're one of the first to really shield their boards quite a bit. They've got some new Z690 boards that they've announced, the N7 and the N5. The N5 is not a lower end model, but just not as high as the N7 in
feature. I honestly don't like that. Like, if you bring that picture up of
this one,
the N5.
The N5? Yeah. Uh-huh. What don't you like about it?
It's bare.
I don't like the as much of the exposed wireless. M.2 that they have here. I'm not a fan of that. It's kind of sloppy. It's not horrible. I don't know.
I get why they're doing two SKUs, right? Like one's lower end, one's higher end, and
It looks better, but you know, for all we know, it could look just about the same underneath the armor there. But yes, support for Intel's 12th gen processors, PCIe Gen 5, which is nice, Wi-Fi 6E, Bluetooth 5.2. I guess we kind of already talked, you know, what do we like it and not like it. Memory speeds up to 5000 megahertz, and XMP 2.0 profiles, some 8-channel audio, which is nice on the higher end board. And I think they seemed pretty affordable as well. Yeah. So the N7 is $300 and the N5 is $239.
Yeah, definitely very affordable. I think they're like, NZXT has their build stuff. It's going to slot right in with all of that. And it is, again, if you do get an NZXT case matched with an NZXT motherboard, they look so good together. I think they're like one of the first companies that really did that. It's kind of one of the main reasons that they did, is because they wanted something that's going to go ahead.
They're one of the only companies that has like the motherboard and a case, at least cases that are pretty popular and well-known, right? Like Corsair doesn't have a motherboard to pair up with one of their cases, and Asus and all of that. So you can have a case and motherboard that really goes together aesthetically. Then you pair that up with CAM, their software, and a cooler of theirs or some of their lighting, and you can really have an all-in-one setup with this. Old Man was saying that Gamers Nexus had mentioned that some of the previous NZXT boards had issues with their BIOS not being the greatest. They had two systems, and despite being exactly alike, they behave differently, which isn't good for testing. Yeah, no, if you're trying to do some side-by-side testing or verification and you're getting different results, that's definitely could be an issue there for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you've taken a look at some of the NZXT boards.
Yeah, I like them. They're made by, are they made by BioStar?
Or
ECS, one of the two.
Yeah, I was thinking it was ECS.
I forget who they're made by. But yeah, I mean, they're a good product in my testing that I've tested them. Maybe I'll get one of the, I'll see if I can get an N7 and take a look at it. But yeah, I just think that for people, especially people in that kind of who want to be in that NZXT ecosystem, it just makes sense. And again, they have their build program that allows you to buy all the parts or have them build it for you. And it's just going to look so, like, if you, again, match it up with an NZXT AIO and do all that, it's just going to look awesome. And again, you have CAM that's going to work with all of most of your hardware. You know what I mean? It's all going to go good, really, really good together. So, so yeah. And then we have another launch from Hyped. They have their...
Yeah.
But basically, they launched three things, but the main thing is their Eclipse HD10, which is their first audio... It just seems like Hyped came in and they had the case and the keyboard. I think everybody was really, I was really excited. We actually have a Y60 here. It's one of the five cases I have to review. And now we have, and then they, what did they came out with?
The wireless headphones, the HD10 headset.
Yeah. So they have this headset now.
No, it looks pretty nice. It has what they're calling, you know, market leading 30-hour battery life. And that was always one of the hesitations I had with getting a wireless headset was, oh, I don't want to be charging it all the time or forgetting, which I did. But like with 30-hour use, that's not bad, right?
It looks comfy. It
looks comfy. That's what I thought. That this top pad here along the top looks nice and padded. Looks to be like probably aluminum interior there.
Really,
and
then this padding
looks pretty nice as well.
I really like whoever their designer is, or like all of their products have this kind of aesthetic that I really like. And I think that so far the products from Hyped that we've taken a look at have been very good. And I think that if they're focusing on like one product, you know what I mean?
One at a time,
kind of launching them, see how they do, getting feedback, blah, blah, blah. I think that's really good. Like if you have a company, again, as companies get bigger, you come out with like six headsets, right?
Right.
But
right.
Like as a newer company kind of launching one thing at a time, I really like that. This headset does look really nice.
Yeah, we got a removable mic as well,
Really like that, yeah. The only thing, yeah, I love headsets like this headset that I use right now. I really like, but it doesn't have a detachable. The mic is,
and it's a big microphone on that headset too.
Yeah, but
like the boom arm.
Yeah. I love the quality of this headset, but I can't use it with anything else because I don't want to look like an idiot with this thing on there. Where the ones that are removable, it becomes like a multi-function device, right? You can use it with multiple things. You can travel with it, that kind of stuff.
Yep. They also had the Flow FA12 fan that they're releasing in a three pack. So the FA12, it's 120 millimeter fan used for airflow for cases. Again, this looks pretty slick too, right? I like the logo in the center. I like the rubber pads for the screw holes,
to give a little bit of dampening. How they have the cabling coming out on the side or the bottom copper.
Yeah, because we usually see it come like it's usually closer on the edge. So they must be routing the cable up and around because it's always gonna follow that frame most of the time. Yeah. They have to get that wire to the exterior somehow. So yeah, it is kind of interesting that it comes out from the middle, but it's got a nice sleeved cabling to it as well, which is always nice. Just adds a little class to it. And it uses a fluid dynamic bearing on those. I think it's just going to be a pretty standard fan, 300 to 1500 RPM. And then they also announced a PCIe Gen 4 riser cable.
And this is the same one that comes with the Y60.
Oh, is it? Okay.
So the Y60 comes with this. And I think that it was so popular that they decided to make it its own product. Which is
pretty good
because it does. That was the thing. So many different riser cables it's just a cable that goes into your slot, where this, they right. made it look like an some type of actual a card. So right. you have some type of aesthetic there, or it just kind of covers like just like a normal graphics card. It kind of covers the slots below it if you're looking from above.
Right.
Which I like. And they're offering in different colors. That's the white. I think it's going to come in black. Like
red.
There's
red, black, and white.
Yeah, same colors that the case comes
in. Now, if this had some lighting to it, then like, yeah, they'd really be onto something there. If they could integrate some lighting or do something with that, I think would be pretty awesome for that. So the headset looks to be available actually yesterday. Yeah, it became available yesterday from an MSRP of $100, which I think sounds pretty good. Like $100 for a nice wireless headset is a nice price there. The 3-pack of fans for $25, again, not bad. And then the riser card is $80. But those are typically kind of expensive anyhow. I think
typical riser card. Yeah.
Once we get just more age in the PCIe 4 life cycle, I think that'll come down a little bit. But even Gen 3 was almost that expensive at some point.
Yeah, so really cool stuff from them. I like kind of everything that they put out. I've been a fan of so far. There hasn't I haven't opened the Y60. I have it here, so that will be the next thing. But I really liked their what was the small case that I took a look at? I forget. Yeah, whatever their kind of their answer to the NZXT H1. That's really small case. I really like from them, and they're doing, like I said, they're doing really cool stuff. So definitely see if we can get some of that, you know, the other new products in to take a look at. Yeah. That'd be really cool. So yeah. And then finally, Apple had a big event. I think that the thing that everybody's really talking about is that on iMessage, you'll be able to unsend a message. You'll be able to unsend a message if somebody doesn't read it. So like, if I get drunk one night and text you, right. "Oh, Ryan, I hate you."
2 in the morning. Piece
of shit.
Well, you don't have to be drunk to send me those.
Yeah. So if I do that and you don't read it, I can like wake up and be like, "Oh, I shouldn't send that. Unsend."
Recall these messages. Yeah, like an Outlook.
Yeah, that's or something, like that's all I heard about. That was like the headline of the Apple event.
I'm surprised they haven't had it that yet, you know, especially they tout all these features of their messaging.
Do they have
app.
It in
I don't know.
Yeah,
Android. I don't know. And is it going to work from Apple to Android? So if you texted me,
no, I think it's iMessage only.
Right. Right.
I haven't looked at any of that, but that was the big thing, which is kind of funny. It is kind of funny, and this is all Apple tech or whatever. They come out with I remember when they came out with like copy and paste. And like they made it into this massive big thing, and it was just like, oh my god,
it's like really.
And then all these like tech influencers were like, oh, it's gonna change the world, and it's like, no, it's like copy and paste has been a thing,
it's
you know.
Nothing new.
It's so funny how Apple
they can make something.
They
so
describe
big,
yeah. something like it's world changing.
Yeah,
but it's literally. You know, but hats off to them because they make things that have been around for a long time and have been like commonplace on, especially when it comes to phones, like commonplace on Android phones. Apple comes out with it and it's like headlines, news, groundbreaking, but it's had already been out for years, you know. But we did get new MacBook Pros.
New 13-inch MacBook Pro with the M2 chip.
5 nanometer, right?
Yes, exactly. So it's supposed to be about, let's see here.
They said 40% faster?
Yeah, 40% faster. The GPU is 35% more powerful. Memory bandwidth increased by 50%, which is just like, these are some big jumps from one gen to the next.
I think, again, they're really... Again, we talked about the M1 a lot on this podcast. And again, we're not Apple people. I own an iPhone, but that's it. I haven't used a Mac laptop or a Mac PC. Have you used a Mac laptop anytime recently?
No.
Yeah. So while we don't use it, I think that's Apple. Again, you saw the big jump in performance going from an Intel-based processor to their own M1. They have full control over the chip. They don't have to worry about exploits, which was one of the big reasons they kind of got away from Intel.
Right.
And, you know,
well, and just think of how hot the 12th gen parts run. Like, they don't have to worry about thermal, you know, constraints. Like, oh, we can only do this with our system.
Well, I mean, they do have to do a
part that runs so hot.
Yeah. I think it's great. If you go up to that first main image, the thing I like the best is they made the power connector match the color of the.
Oh my gosh.
If you right click on it, you should be able to. Yeah. And open a new tab. Yeah, there you go. Like, they made the power connectors, and it's braided. If you know anything about Apple connectors,
well, is it actually braided or is it just like a textured rubber cover? Either way, it's cool.
Yeah. So they, I hope they bring that to the iPhone, so your power cable will match your like the color of the phone you get.
You know, you can just buy other cables, right?
I know, but it's just nice when it comes with it.
No, it is. It is.
Yeah. Like I said, I think this, it's great for if you're a Mac person. I'm not, again, we're not buying any of this stuff, obviously.
Starting at about $1,300, that's not bad. I mean, it's a 13 inch device, but it's not terribly expensive.
Yeah. Old Man did say there's a big jump in price. So I don't know the starting price of the previous gen.
Yeah, I don't know.
I do know that
$1,300 doesn't seem crazy for a MacBook Pro.
Yeah, and I do know, at least for people that I know who use Macs, like the lifespan is far longer. Like, people use them for like 6 to 8 years, you know, where like most laptops, it's like 4, I would say. Yeah. Like, most Windows-based laptops are like 4 years or something.
Yeah, without any upgrades to it, yeah, probably 4 years.
Yeah.
I'm at 5 on mine, which is kind of nuts.
That is, that is.
2017, I flipped it over the other day and I was like, oh, wow, I did get this that long ago. But
you don't use it a ton, though, do you?
No. I don't use it every day, but I use it multiple times a week and pretty regularly.
Did you see any other headlines from the Apple event? Those are the two biggest ones.
That's the iOS 16, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't I mean, I saw the headline, but I didn't even skim through.
Yeah, I didn't really see. It's like, we're not, I know, it's like
just not what we cover. It's not our wheelhouse.
Yeah but usually the Apple
event, it's still relevant.
Yeah. I just remember, like, the Apple events, it would be like something you've never, like, you were prepared to be like wowed. And now, the past, like, I don't know,
just one more thing type of, you know, at the
end. And it's just like, well, and I get it. Like, we have these, you know, it was like the computer in your pocket. And then it was, you know, a few other, like, I don't know. Maybe we're just getting old and things aren't as exciting, but and again, with how technology is, like, it's not like we're going to put some crazy super futuristic thing in your phone that nobody's going to use, obviously, which would be cool to us, but the general, you know, you have to sell these things. So yes. I don't know. Maybe we'll get something super cool in a few years or something that X-ray vision on your phone or something. I don't know. So that wraps up our news for this week. Coming up next week, we have some cool stuff. So I'm sure if you've done a build yourself, you've probably heard of CableMod. They make their own cables for power supplies, but you know, with doing custom sleeving for power supplies, they're bringing that over to keyboards. So they have coiled cables that you can buy. You can customize your own. I actually went through and did here's the ones you can just buy, that are pre-made, and they're not all that expensive either. But you can configure your own cable, and it's compared to some of the ones that I've used before to do this, it's really well done. Like, you know, it actually shows you as you build, like, we'll do a complete cable, pro coiled, we'll go to the next step here. You know, does your keyboard have RGB light? We'll say yes. It's type C.
I wonder why they ask you if it does. Are they going to put,
I think with RGB
heavier duty,
I think it needs a certain amount of power or something. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. But anyways, we'll just say it's USB or the keyboard uses USB-C. We'll go to USB-A, next step. And what's really cool is, okay, we select way the coil goes. So you can, you know, select if it goes left or right. So depending on the keyboards, like certain keyboards, I think these are actually both opposite. Are they? Yeah. So on this here, I'll make myself big real quick. So on this keyboard, the Type-C is on the right, if you can see that. And then on this keyboard, which is plugged. Ah, I just knocked my phone over. This keyboard, you can't even see it. Hold on. I don't want to unplug it. But you can't see it, but it's on the opposite side.
It's USB. It'll plug back in.
Yeah. So you want the coil to be going a certain way based on where that connection is. So
right.
You know, you can go back here and select left or right. We'll just select one, and then if you want the coil to go, you know, vertically or go straight out, we'll say we want it to go upwards. Go next step. And what's really cool is, you pick your coil lengths, and in like, let's just keep this all basic right now. You can select your connector and all that. But when you select the colors, it shows it like, here's a connector color. We'll just select that, save that. It shows it on the diagram. So some of these, like you have to, like some of these configurators, like they're not that great. Here, like I can see like what kind of, like what it's like, basically what the cable is going to look like. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. As you kind of do it, which I really like. So I made one custom cable, which is actually meant to match this keyboard. And then we got one of their default ones. Because I just wanted to see, like, again, a lot of people don't want to go through this. And these custom ones are a little bit more expensive, not much more. Let's see if I can go back here. But like, we got one of these, I think it's actually this green one that I got. And I think these are, let's see,
the lime sorbet. That's cool.
Yeah, I think that's the one that we got. Let me see if there's a price difference between buying it there, because they said they have buy on Amazon now, $39 on Amazon, $49 through CableMod. So you can, it's actually cheaper on Amazon. But yeah, like I said, just to see what like a default one looks like, and the custom ones come in like a really nice carrying case and everything. Like it's actually really nice. So like, we'll talk about it more next week, but definitely stay tuned for that. Cool. Also, I actually should have sent this to you, Ryan, because you're the MMO person in this little duo here, is SteelSeries sent us over their Aerox 9 wireless.
Oh, yeah.
Which is
Why don't you send that over?
After I'm done reviewing, I'll send it to you. Lightweight wireless MMO mouse. So 12 buttons on the side. If I can get a side shot here of the buttons, look at that.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
And I reviewed the Aerox 3 or 5. I'm a pretty big fan of this lightweight. It's 89 grams, which is pretty impressive. And you still get,
considering you have a back and 12 additional buttons. Yeah.
Yeah. So, definitely stay tuned for all that stuff next week. I'll be excited to take a look at all of that.
old man
in the chat, as we were talking about CableMod, he said, I thought for a second you were going to say they were making dust covers for keyboards. Like,
April Fool's joke. And I remember those. They used to have like that vinyl, soft like vinyl thing.
Set they had them in the keyboard lab when I was like growing up.
Oh yeah,
see those. Yeah,
gotta put your keyboard covers on. Keep the dust out of those switches.
Yeah. So, but yeah, we're coming to the end here. Obviously, we're gonna be on Twitch, twitch.tv/syncomputers. Ryan will have that stream up. We talk about. Did you do anything tech related? See anything tech? Did you watch the next episode of Star Wars?
No, I'm two weeks behind. Well, 2 weeks behind today. So no, I've got two of them to catch up on probably tomorrow. But I did watch Top Gun Maverick twice.
You did tell me you watched it twice,
and it was amazing. I mean,
all I've heard
I watched it in ScreenX. So like, I didn't watch it on a standard screen. I did have IMAX available to me, but. The IMAX times were kind of weird for the first showing we were going to see. So I just went with ScreenX because it sounded cool. That's where you have a pretty much a standard size screen in front of you. And then it portions of the movie they'll project on the side walls to kind of get you more immersed. So I did that the first showing. It was awesome. And then went back the next day with my dad and father-in-law and did ScreenX again so that they could experience it. So yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, see it in the theater if you can.
Yeah, I want to go see it. I told you before the podcast, I'm going to see it in a couple weeks. But yeah, I'm trying to read this article really quick. It broke a ton of box office records. Like it,
I was surprised. It was his first, Tom Cruise's first movie to do over 100 million in the first week. Like, think of how many big movies Tom Cruise
like,
has
all,
been
like
in.
All the Mission Impossibles.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a lot of really good movies. I'm excited. I don't know if I'm going to wait. Now, man.
Dude, I watched it literally the next day in less than 24 hours later, and I enjoyed it just as much. So, like, you could probably see it and then see it again if you really wanted to.
I was going to go see it this Monday, and then my friend, we're all going to get together when I go back home at the end of this month. And they're like, oh, yeah, we'll go see it. I was like, I might just go see it now that I think about it. But yeah, I've heard is good things. Like I haven't heard one bad review of it. Like
I watched some like reviews of there's a fighter pilot that I watch on YouTube sometimes, and he did like a post review of it. And so he was like picking things apart, I expect someone like that to do that. Right. If someone made a gaming or a movie about LAN parties or something, right. Most people might enjoy it and we'd find the little nitpicking things, right? So I expect that from them. But if you're just going into it as a movie and if you liked the first one, like, I think the second one's definitely worth a watch.
Old man said in the chat, he said he bought a HyperX Cloud Core wired DTS headphone. It was a day deal at Best Buy for $30. That's really good.
That's a good deal.
Also, old man's keeping us up to date on Epic. Wolfenstein New Order is free on Epic until tomorrow. So if you're listening to this, definitely go ahead and pick that up. Always good to get some free games. We talked about there was one last week. I forget. It was
the BioShock?
Yeah, BioShock. Mm-hmm. But yeah, talking about gaming, like I said, we are going to be on Twitch, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. I have my energy drink here. I'm ready to go play some Apex. But thanks everybody for coming out. Old man, good to see you in the chat. We always appreciate you being here. And of course, everybody else that watches, listens, does everything, obviously later, cause I know everybody can't catch the live stream, but we appreciate everybody watching and listening, and we'll see everybody next week.